grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the end. Yes. I think for students and professors and even staff, we're looking forward to a rest. But the rest we look forward to in the next 2 weeks is nothing to be compared to the rest the Lord has planned for us in eternity. But while we live here, rest is only momentary. It's a pleasure that we seek and only find from time to time, and it's very short indeed. Really, there's probably no rest at all. If some of you are like me, when I was a student in the past, and still, and forever, there's things left undone. And so this time of rest becomes a time of catching up, finishing those papers and those assignments that you just kind of put off and time ran out. Or, when you go home, the wife says, "Aha! Here we go." Or the children, "Oh, Dad, does that mean you can play with me now for 2 whole weeks? Is there rest? Perhaps a change of pace. And then there's other things that disturb our rest here. Recently, this past week, we hear about missions and not enough finances and how cuts are going to be made. People are coming home from the field rather than preaching the gospel and going out. I could ignore that, except that I hear from a former student of mine who is now counsel for the deaf that his position too may be cut. And after that, just a few days later, I hear that a pastor for the deaf in another district, after 17 years of faithful service, his position will be cut. Well, not a bad thing if he's hearing, but he happens to be deaf himself. He just can't leave that call and go to a hearing church, another call, and fill one of the 800 vacancies. Not that easy. So we hear about what's going on in the mission field, both here and far away, and it seems, Lord, is this the time? Is this the time the end is coming? Have we succeeded in spreading the gospel all over the world, and now we just wait for you to come? Is there no work left to be done? Or is Satan winning the day? Or are we ourselves become too selfish, have lost focus on the true mission of the church, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? I certainly had to ask myself these questions. In our lesson, it talks about a lawless one that will appear. And it seems, according to our Lutheran perspective, it talks about the papacy. And it's based upon this sentence the Pope said himself in 1302, that anyone, by necessity of salvation, must be under the authority of the Pope. Now, when you talk about this today, it's not a very politically correct thing to talk about. I had a person to whom I minister from time to time as my responsibility as a chaplain in the guard, and she's Lutheran herself, and someone told her that you Lutherans believe the Pope is the Antichrist. So immediately she calls me and says, "What's this about? Do we believe that? I can't believe that we'd say something like that." And of course I told her, "No, that's old fashioned." No, I told her I'd send her an email and explain to her more in depth. But I said, our position is, if the shoe fits, wear it. And historically, it has fit. And so, yes, it is one. But also, something you don't hear much about, but Mohammedism, the kingdom of Mohammed, is also considered part of the Antichrist, right along with the Pope. Another thing it's not very politically correct to speak about, but most of us whisper to one another about. But it seems with the spread of Islam and terrorism and the cut of missions, it seems like perhaps the end is in sight. But it's not. We hear from the word of today's lesson that when Christ appears, he wins. Just the breath from his mouth is all required to defeat all these antichrists and to restore the kingdom of God. This, and he says, in the true sign of the end is when the gospel has been preached throughout all the world. And this is really the only thing, it's not generic for each generation. You know, the sign of the end is lightning and earthquakes. Well, we have that all the time. Terrible storms, we just recently had that. Famines, we have that all the time. Rumor of war, well, of course. All these things are true from generation to generation, but only one thing that Jesus says is when the gospel has been preached to all the world, then the end. If that sentence isn't enough to bring us back to focus on what's most important, that sentence, along with others, helps us to remember what the mission of the church is. It is to preach the saving word of Jesus Christ, who himself, because he loved us, suffered and died on the cross and gave himself for us, that we might have life and escape the terror of hell and eternal punishment. That we might live with hope and finally enter into a true rest. All the world around us may seem to be crumbling down. Our rest may be short. But we can have as our mission statement, if you will, focus to preach the gospel. And while we are here, we prepare ourselves diligently, not worrying about a final exam, not worrying about a test or a paper or our grade, but being truly concerned that we have learned well what the Lord has said. I close in reading from the scriptures. We always should thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, through belief in the truth. He called you through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, sisters, stand firm and hold to the teaching we have passed on to you, whether by word or a word of mouth, or by letter. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your heart and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Come, Lord Jesus.